This podcast is brought to you in part by ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Whether you're buying or selling home, condo, or any type of property, trust Amanda to help match you with up to three top agents in your area. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Hey, all you rock stars from Washington, D.C. This is the Rock on the Money podcast, episode 116. I'm talking about saving, investing, and protecting all of those hard-earned monies. We're here to coach you along the path to a retirement and financial independence. I'm Craig, your Dave Ramsey Master Financial Coach, along with Amanda. She is a corporate in-house lawyer and real estate referral agent. We're so grateful you've joined us. Check us out on Facebook at Rock on the Money or the website at rockonthemoney.com. Welcome back, Amanda.
Hi, how's it going?
You had a nice little vacation.
Well, I guess we could call it that. I mean, I took 2 days off
out of
a week.
That's true. But yeah. It's good. Good. Yeah. For all of us that are out here busting our butts.
Yeah. 2020 was very good to me, but 2021 just keeps kicking me in the teeth, it seems. So.
Yeah, it's so erratic out there. It's hard to tell what's going on. I noticed a lot of people in our group are very nervous about their money. And they're looking at, I mean, I appreciate that they're looking at their funds. I agree that, you know, they're learning and now looking at it. I'm kind of telling them, don't look at it. Just like, stop, ignore it. If you're in the right funds, the S&P 500, much of that S&P 500, Amanda, has not done anything last year. And now it's flipping. So overall, you're going to be fine.
Yes.
Just leave it alone.
Yeah. I just wanted to give an update. I think a few weeks ago on the podcast, I mentioned I was up 20% for the year. Yeah. Now it's like 3%. So,
So you
it
and I flip.
To the best of us, everyone.
Because now I'm up 28% as of yesterday that we're recording.
So it just happens. So,
yeah.
I just ride it out. But the good news is it's still up for the year.
Oh, yeah. You know what? Remember, we're only looking for 8 to 10% per year. I think we're getting too used to these big gains. It's like, oh, now we want everything.
Yeah. So 3% in the middle of March is actually
typical.
And it sure beats the 0.5% you'd get in a savings account. So
things are fine. It's just tech had a run. Now it's time for all the opening up stuff to catch up. So,
and it's going to be opening up very quickly. I just got my first vaccine this week. So
bars are open here in Maryland now. Bars and restaurants are back in business 100%. So
Texas is open now.
Schools are open up here. And the one thing that we did not miss in the Washington, D.C. area, traffic returned yesterday. They were saying the traffic report said this is back to normal. It was
really
jammed up everywhere, but that is normal.
So. We went to Costco yesterday afternoon and I noticed the same thing. I was like, holy cow, there's a lot of traffic. Not going to Costco, everyone, but you know, the route to Costco was packed. Yeah. I think there's finally a light at the end of the tunnel. I think we're going to see some sense of normalcy by the summer, late summer and fall for sure. So,
I work in the travel industry and people are booking vacations like nobody's business right now. I think people are just comfortable. And what the president, I don't want to get political, but the president said there'll be a vaccination for everyone by the end of May. So I think that has pretty much put
everyone in the U.S. I don't know that
U.S. And then they said they bought more than they needed. Anything extra would go to other countries once the Americans are taken care of. So
there you go. So that's just it. I'm not sure I'd be comfortable going overseas on travel yet.
No, I think we're going to still have restrictions on that, but travel in the United States, it's going to be up. It's going to be way up.
Beaches going to be crowded. The other day, like, I can't wait until I can get back on a cruise ship or something, you know?
I'm going next year. I'm going to probably jump on one of these sails for next year.
Okay.
I'm in. But I want to do one of those Royal Caribbean ones. I've never done that.
Okay.
I've always done those Carnival family ones.
Okay.
Yeah, I want the whole shebang.
Yeah, I think the adult crowd goes with Holland America.
Okay, you mean old people?
Well, I did it.
So. Oh, great! Now I screw it up again.
There just aren't as many kids on those. You know.
There you go. Yeah, I want to stay away from the kids. Nothing against your kids, everybody, but I did that too.
You're just in a different season of your life.
There you go. appreciate that. Hey, what are we doing this podcast?
We have 6 great questions from our social media group.
Awesome. Question number one, and this came right from our group, and I think people are still confused. The question is, I just moved my 401k to a target date fund. I went 80% target date and 20% into the S&P 500. Does this sound like a good mix? Amanda, your thoughts?
Yeah, and so I'm going to do a very Wisconsin thing and say, yeah, no.
Yeah, no. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Which means no, if you want to translate Wisconsin talk into it. So you target date funds are meant to be used on their own as the sole and only investment that you have. So if you're going to have target date in your fund, in your portfolio at all, it should be 100%. Now, that being said, we don't recommend target date funds unless you're within 10 years before retirement, because they are not high performers and do not outperform the S&P 500 index on a historical basis. And there's a very large gap in performance. So our recommendation is put your money into the S&P 500 index fund, keep it simple, you know, and just go that route. And then once you get closer to retirement, you can swap over to the target date fund, because although it grows slower, it also isn't likely to lose money. And if you're going to be close to retirement, you're going to need that money.
Right. It's almost like having a financial planner taking care of your funds, because it automatically adjusts to not be as aggressive. But to get your money to last 20, 30 years from retirement, you need to have a little bit in the stock market, and that fund does for you.
Yeah. It just has a higher mix of bonds and other things that just don't grow at all.
Yeah. It keeps more stabilized. Yeah. With some growth, and you can get about 4 to 6% out of that thing. So, all right, here's another question. I met with a financial planner today and was recommended an umbrella policy. What are your thoughts on umbrella policies?
So an umbrella policy is an insurance policy that covers. So let's take a step back. So most people have homeowners insurance if you own your home. Right. Most people have car insurance if you own a car. So those are all insurance policies on an individual asset, right? So your homeowners insurance is going to cover anything that happens to your home, but it wouldn't cover something that happens to your vehicle sitting in your driveway, right?
Right. Yeah.
You'd probably have to go look at your car insurance for that. Again, I'm just speaking in generalities. Your particular policies may vary.
Right.
An umbrella policy is going to give you broader protection. It's an overarching policy that covers over your homeowner's insurance, your car insurance, your life insurance, and protects you against liability claims, like if someone were to trip on your sidewalk and want to sue you, or, you know, and any of those weird things that people might sue you for. Or if you have a vicious dog and your homeowner's insurance won't cover it, it may. You have to look at your exclusions, but it may cover if your dog bites someone and then they sue you for that. Again, look at your particular policy. But if you have a very large set of assets, it may be a good idea. And if you have multiple rentals, for example, it may be a good idea to have an umbrella policy to cover all your entire investment portfolio.
I think that was the one thing I wanted to get to eventually is they say if you get a net worth of $400,000 or more, if people know you have money, they will find a way to get to it. You could become more of a target for lawsuits that make no sense because you have it. That is what your umbrella policy is, to protect all that wealth you've been building up, because people want to get to it. If you have it, they want it. Here's another question.
Okay.
Simple. I have paid off debt, baby step 2, which is all our commercial debt, excluding mortgage. They have saved almost 6 months of their emergency fund.
Okay.
Should they have a home warranty or not?
Craig, you're the baby step expert. I don't remember home warranty being part of any baby step.
That would be correct, Amanda. However, I see you know why I think they asked this? On TV. I rarely watch TV. The home warranty commercials are out of control. There's so
many. And the flyers. People are getting direct mailings all the time now, too.
I believe that would be your emergency fund, Amanda, is what is your home warranty.
Yeah, your emergency fund is your own home warranty. Home warranty plans are not a great buy. I only buy them for the first year of any new rental property that I have, just because it keeps things simpler and it's rather inexpensive. But I will tell you, rarely do we actually get the value out of that home warranty. So you're going to pay a premium because it's an insurance policy. And like most insurance, like you have car insurance that you pay a premium on and you rarely make a claim against. So it's just kind of lost money. Right. Home warranty insurance is going to be the same thing, where you're paying a premium and very rarely are you going to actually have a claim to file to even get any benefit from it. That, and in addition to that, there are huge exclusions from your home warranty policies that you would be 100% responsible for those costs anyway. So again, there's very little value in home warranties and you should be just saving up money yourself for these planned things that you're going to need to update or replace in your home.
Yeah.
Like, for example, if you get a home warranty, it's going to say that your repairs to your garage door, for example, are covered. Right. But then if you read the fine print, it'll say, except like springs replacement. If your springs break in your garage door, they won't replace those. But that's the number one thing that happens to garage doors, right, is that the springs break. So,
right. And they do wear out.
Yeah.
So I replace them every couple of years. I mean, it's just, you know.
Yeah. So that's just one example of it makes you think you're getting coverage. But if you look at all the exclusions and the carve outs, you're not getting very much coverage at all. And I mean, it'll say it covers your major appliances. But if you have relatively new major appliances anyway, you're probably getting manufacturer warranties on those.
There you go. All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back with three great questions. As always, we'll be back right after this. You're listening to Rockin' the Money.
With ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Are you about to sell your home or excited to buy your first or next home? I'll be honored to help you find an expert to work with you in your local area. At ChoiceRealtyConnect.com, I'll help match you with up to 3 qualified licensed agents that specialize in your specific market. Choice Realty Connect serves every zip code in all 50 states with a network of 15,000 top-rated agents that are ranked within the top 5% for sales. Whether you're selling or looking for a condo, new construction, retreat, vacation property, or you're a first-time home buyer, let me connect you with the perfect top agent today. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. The choice is yours.
Amanda Braun is a Florida licensed real estate with a brokerage, Realty Connect.
Rockland, USA.
Back to Rock on the Money with Amanda and Craig. Check out our website at rockonthemoney.com. And also, we are found everywhere. I'm assuming if they're listening to this, they already found us. But
probably.
I mean, it's logic. But share it with your friends. And everybody's going back to work. Many are. And people are getting stimulus checks again.
Yes.
Everybody's talking about how they're paying off debt. Hopefully they're paying off debt with it.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever that and the baby stuff.
This isn't the time to make a huge splurge purchase.
However, on Facebook, I see people saying, oh, I'm going to go do this. I'm going to do that. Yeah. I'm going to buy a vacation. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's not what it's for. I mean, if you're through the baby steps, that's different. Typically, people are not.
Yeah, if you're through the baby steps, you may or may not qualify for stimulus checks too.
Yeah, that's a good point. If you actually went through the baby steps, you probably don't get a stimulus check.
Yeah. I mean, maybe it's based on income level, not net worth, but,
But typically the people that go through the baby steps that will get one will not use it on a vacation.
Right.
A
new car or something like
that. They're the ones that typically will save it. So, question number 4, Amanda.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, what happens if you can't save the first $1,000 in baby step 1 because you have too many bills?
So there's only 2 things you can do to fix your budget deficit, which is what it sounds like you have here. So you have more bills than you have income, and which will probably continue to keep putting you into further and further debt. So a budget's a simple thing. It's you have to balance your budget either by increasing your income, taking on extra jobs, projects, being creative, selling things from your house, or you need to reduce your expenses. Oh, I shouldn't say or. You can. It's an and or. So you can increase your income and decrease your expenses, and that will really help your budget. But if you're only able to do one, let's say you're already maxed out capacity-wise in the hours you have in a day and can't make any more income, then you absolutely have to reduce your bills. Yeah. And this means going through everything that you spend money on and cutting anything that is not essential to your survival. Like, you know, cable is not essential to your survival. Internet might be, because I don't think anyone can function, especially during this pandemic, without internet.
Yeah.
But, you know, cable is not.
Netflix.
Streaming services are right. not essential to your survival.
Disney Plus, you mean Disney Plus is not essential?
No. Mm-mm.
Netflix.
Netflix, none of those. So, I mean, there are still channels that come over basic antenna. That might be what you're limited to until you have your budget in order. And everyone should be able to save $1,000. It just may take a little bit longer.
And I guarantee I'd go through their house. I can find things to sell on eBay right now and come up with several thousand dollars, like in 2 weeks.
Yeah. And I suspect that their budget isn't very tight. There's probably, in addition to bills, they're probably having what I call budget leakage, where they're spending money on things that they're not tracking, you know, like gas station purchases, or, you know, just running to the store multiple times a week for groceries rather than planning it out and sticking to your grocery budget, things like that.
Yeah. Question number five, which I can relate to as of this year.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Now that I'm self-employed, I have a SEP, a self-employment plan for retirement. Is there any reason to continue contributing to my Roth IRA?
Yes, I would do both. If you're eligible for both, do both, because the Roth IRA, again, the Roth is a magical word that means that you'll be able to withdraw money from that retirement plan without paying income tax on it.
Right.
So you're reducing your future tax liability. Most SEPs are traditional, so they're going to grow and you're going to you'll be able to contribute pre-tax dollars now, so you won't pay taxes on the money today, but that means that you're postponing your tax bill and will have to pay tax on that when you do withdraw it. So I would do both. It certainly doesn't hurt you to contribute more to your future. I wouldn't limit it to just one.
No. And the nice thing about SEP is you can put a lot of money in there.
You can. I mean, there's a calculation for it. So it's not just a simple flat number for everyone. It's a calculation. So you work with your tax professional to determine what your eligibility is there.
Yeah.
And if you're a small business owner, an employer, be especially careful and work with your tax planner, because if you contribute to your own personal SEP and you have employees, you have to contribute to theirs as well. And it has to be the same.
That's why everybody likes to contract everybody. 1099 everybody.
Yeah.
All right. Question number six. Mm-hmm. Here we go with the car question.
Okay.
Which caused some controversy in our group, by the way.
Mm.
So here we go. While you're on vacation, Amanda, they are not planning on buying a car right now, but they will in a few years. So here's my question. If you are through the baby steps and have a fully funded emergency fund, then
buy a car
2 to 3 years old, and you have saved a down payment, but not enough to pay cash for it. Do you use your emergency fund to pay for all of it, leaving just $1,000, and start saving your fund again?
Mm. Oh, so this is like a trick question.
Well, my quick answer was buying a car is not an emergency.
Correct. It is. And so what they're trying to do is get themselves back into debt, which will put them back into baby step two. And then when we're in baby step two, we always tell people, hey, if you're in baby step two, you should only have a $1,000 emergency fund until you pay off your debt.
Right.
So they're just trying to reverse themselves back to baby step two, which is not helpful.
No.
Yes, a car is not an emergency. That's not what you use your emergency fund for. If you have a down payment, then and not enough to pay cash, then you probably are buying a car that you can't afford.
Yeah, they're trying to justify it, think a more expensive vehicle they don't need.
I mean, why would you put yourself back into debt after you've worked so hard to get out of it debt?
And if you do the baby steps as they are doing, if you're doing that, you're also not saving money for a future because you're not to baby step four yet.
Right.
So you're in this constant debt loop and you want to be in debt all the time, which makes no sense. It makes zero sense. I don't care if it's 0%, whatever. You're in debt. It doesn't work.
Right.
You're not saving. Now you're half doing the whole thing.
Yep.
You're being Dave-ish, as they say.
Yeah.
And which this thread on our group also led into someone else jumping on there saying that they wanted to buy new cars because in their experience, buying used cars break down all the time and they can't afford it. They would rather have a new car.
Okay. That's just not based in fact.
No. Well, I said, I'm not getting a good conversation with this because you're either buying the wrong car, which has a bad history, or you're trying to further justify new cars because the facts are that is not true.
Right.
That is not true. So.
Yeah. I mean, we buy used cars and let's see, my husband's truck is a 2012 running perfectly fine because we maintain it. So if your car is breaking down, it probably means that you're also not being very good about preventative maintenance on the regular manufacturer recommended schedule.
Yeah.
So yeah, any car, new or used, is going to break down if you don't take care of it.
Yeah. If you're buying a vehicle, according to Consumer Reports, that is way at the bottom of the list, like a Land Rover, which is terrible with issues, as opposed to a Toyota.
But it looks so fancy.
Yeah, it's a great show-off in your driveway, but it breaks down all the time.
Right.
As opposed to buying a Toyota or a Honda, which is rated very high, you're going to run into these problems.
Yeah.
But people buy what is flashy, not what is nice and smart that looks good.
Yep.
So.
Yeah. So my husband's truck's a 2012. So we're going on, almost 9 years old now. My car is a 2015. So almost 6 years old. Running like champs because we take care of them. A lot of people I know who are struggling to get their financials under control and to be in control of their financials rather than having their finances in control of them tend to only take care of their car after something goes wrong with it.
Right.
Yeah, they're very reactive rather than proactive in taking care of their vehicles. So they wait until that engine light comes on before bringing it in for a servicing, you know?
Or an oil change. Yeah, that's not the time to do it.
Yeah, or they wait till the tire explodes before replacing their tires, you know? And then it's an emergency, and then they're dipping into their emergency fund because, you know, then it is a true emergency, where a lot of these so-called emergencies can be prevented just by taking care of your vehicle. Now, of course, that's not going to prevent running over a nail and popping your tire.
Right, but if you buy your tires at certain places, they cover that.
Yeah.
Like Costco, they fix that free.
Right.
So.
Yeah, they won't replace it, but they'll patch your tire.
Right, they'll patch it. But if it's on the inside tread, it's unrepairable, then you got to buy a new one. But, you know, they're not there to rip you off.
Right. Yeah. Well, so that's just it is your a car purchase is not an emergency unless you need transportation to or from work. And in even in that case, the emergency is to get transportation, which is four wheels that roll down the road with a seat with a seatbelt for you. It's not a Land Rover or something fancy or something new because you're afraid that used would break down. You know, no, you're buying a junker that just gets you from point A to point B.
You can buy a $5,000 Toyota. It'll be fine.
Yep.
People find that hard to believe.
Toyotas run for like 300,000 miles.
Right. As long as you buy it and then have a mechanic, you pay a mechanic to double check it, which is what you should be doing anyway.
Right. Because used cars, if you're buying from a private party, especially our as-is purchases.
Right.
If you buy from a dealership, they might give you like a 30-day limited
warranty. CarMax does that. All these online people will give you these biting back guarantees. So,
you absolutely should not be dipping into your emergency fund to pay cash for the car or to pay off your new loan that you just got. I mean, don't be silly.
So bottom line is buying a car is not an emergency.
Correct.
Gotcha. All right. I think we've learned a lot here. All right. Thank you very much. And we're not trying to belittle everybody. We're just trying to hammer it. It's the same answers every time, guys.
Yeah. People are going to do what they're going to do.
Absolutely.
And the thing is, we're just trying to explain that the psychology of it is you're just justifying your poor decision, which is you're perfectly entitled to do that. If that's what you want to do, it's just not going to help you advance your future.
If you're looking for validation on these poor decisions, this is not the place you're going to get it. Yeah, this is not the place. I've learned that from Amanda. I'm doing pretty good, aren't I?
Yeah.
Validation. All right. Thank you guys for listening. Please share with your friends. And thank you, Amanda, for your time.
You can find Amanda on Instagram and Twitter at Agile Amanda. And you can find me on all of your favorite social media platforms at Rockland USA. Don't forget, check out the website and subscribe to the podcast. All the links are right there on the front page, rockonthemoney.com. Please subscribe and leave comments to our podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, or even your favorite app that you got right there on your phone. Those help us out a lot. If you're ever looking for a specific topic or content that we've produced over time, just go to the website and in the search bar, just type in your topic, be it 401k, stimulus check, or anything, and everything comes right up for you. We have so much gratitude that you've taken the time out of your day to listen to our podcast while you're walking, driving, traveling, or whatever you're doing. Please send us an email. Let us know how you're doing out there. podcast@rocklandusa.com. So long, everybody. Thank you very much again. We'll see you again next time. America's Rockland USA. All opinions expressed by the host are solely their own and do not reflect the views of any company, affiliates, or advertisers. Investments or strategies mentioned in the show may not be suitable for you. Before acting on any information in the show, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor.